News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network right across Ireland.
Just going to turn our attention to a very interesting guy who was over in Dublin a little bit earlier on, or just late last week. The star of one of the biggest soap operas in the world, the presenter of Family Fortunes for nearly 15 years, and even did a stint as well, of course, in the Big Brother house, some of you may remember. Well, Les Dennis has done quite a lot in what's now four decades in the showbiz industry. He's set to arrive in the Bord Gáis stage, though, on the 15th of August as part of the Addams Family musical comedy tour. And he was in studio with me recently ahead of the show's run in Dublin, and I began by asking him, can he sing, given that he's playing the part of Uncle Fester?
I can sing, yeah. People are always surprised that I can. I have a lovely song in the show called The Moon and Me. Fester falls in love with the moon. It's a wonderful show. Great cast. We have Sam Womack as Morticia, Cameron Blakely, a wonderful Gomez, Carrie Hope Fletcher is playing Wednesday. It's all basically, if you love the Addams Family, mm-hmm. the TV show or the movies, you'll love this. It's moved on a bit in that Wednesday is now just about to be 18 and she's fallen in love with a normal guy and she wants her father's
approval.
Is there
such a thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole premise is, you know, what's normal and what's not. You know, the Addams Family are supposedly dysfunctional, but they're dysfunctional through their love. So it's a lovely, funny love story, but it's also a great musical show.
Mm-hmm. You're playing, of course, Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester. Yeah. Uncle Fester up there. Yeah.
It's a great gig to get, though. He's a good act to have to play. Like, how do you find that?
He's an iconic character to play, and I'm having a ball playing him. The great thing as well is this is the first show outside of America. So we are, we are kind of creating the characters, whereas sometimes you do a musical that has already been doing the rounds or been done the West End and you take over from somebody. Here, I've been able to create my own Fester. Mm-hmm.
And of course, in an effort to do that, you've even changed your look or your appearance.
I have changed my look. I did for a couple of rehearsals, try a bald cap and decided, no, I'm not going to do this. So I've shaved my head. Mm. Yeah. Which is, it's suffering for your art.
And how was it? It's a big change, though, I'd imagine.
When you look in the mirror and you suddenly see yourself bald, my kids were like, oh, daddy, not sure about that. But I wanted to make sure that the character was right. And, yeah. and it also makes it easier for me. I don't have to sit in makeup for 2 hours before the show.
And nobody wants that.
Yeah. But people still come back and go, oh, I didn't believe that you'd actually shaved it. We thought it was a cap.
And did you check with family
in advance? When I said to the director, Matt White, I'm going to do it, he said, call Claire, your wife. So I called Claire and she said, look, well, let's do it for charity. So I did it for Breast Cancer Now.
Brilliant.
And I was shaved by Nikki Clark on Loose Women.
Oh, brilliant. Of course, that's right. Yeah, of course. Do you like playing those roles, Les? The gigs that kind of get the audience laughing? Because you have so much experience at this stage on the stage. But are they roles you like doing?
I like doing all sorts of roles. You know, if I play a bad guy, I enjoy that. I enjoy kind of an audience, you know, being kind of threatened by something I play and not expecting it to be me. But Fester is great fun to play because he narrates the piece. You know, he's the only one that kind of talks to the audience and tells them, you know, he's the one that champions this love affair. He's fallen in love with the moon, so he understands unorthodox love. So it's great to do because I do get to talk to the audience, but also, you know, interact with the family as well.
I suppose many people will kind of remember you more recently during your time in Coronation Street when you played Michael Rodwell, and I suppose that relationship with Gail Platt, who's just synonymous with Carrie at this stage.
Yeah.
But like the show itself, it's an institution. How did you find your time on the cobbles?
I absolutely loved it.
When I
got the call, I was working in a thriller called Perfect Murder, playing a baddie. But I got the call from my agent. She said, would you be interested in Coronation Street? I said, yes. They want you to screen test. I said, please. I went the next week and did the screen test, got the job the next week. And I couldn't believe it. Mm. You know, I was so thrilled because I'd loved the show from the beginning. And when on my first day, when I was walking down the corridor and I saw all the, you know, the names, you know, Bill Roach and all those amazing kind of wonderful actors that, you know, that were in the street. And I was just going, I can't believe that I'm here. And then when I did my first scene on the cobbles, and 2.5 years it went so quickly until Phelan came along and destroyed Michael's dream.
But that was one of the, I suppose, one of the aspects of your role in the show that, like, you know, I suppose everybody looks at the ending that you have in a show like, or in a soap opera like Coronation Street. And you had that, what I would imagine has been the kind of really typical, you know, really dramatic ending.
A proper dramatic ending.
Yeah, you did, as opposed to kind of the see you later, I disappear.
Than either getting in a taxi and disappearing dying in the chair in the Platts house. It was a lovely, proper exit, and it was a great, great finish for Michael. And it was never going to end well, was it? You know, you marry Gail Platt. You know, wedding, not her sixth. I was her fifth husband because she married Brian Tilsley twice.
Right, so your character though had a huge shift in terms of its change from coming in initially as the villain to the good guy. And so I'd imagine it was a real exciting role to play.
Because you never knew. That's the thing about Coronation Street, when you're there and the writers see what you do, that's when they take it down a certain path, you know.
So you don't
have an idea. I mean, I knew that he had a heart condition, and there was one point where we thought Michael was going to have a heart transplant, but it's very difficult to do something like that and treat it with the full respect that the British Heart Foundation might want, because in soap things get better quicker than they would in real life. so we decided not to go down that route, but it was a great time.
Well, what's it like as an actor in a soap soap opera when you get the call and you're told, just to let you know, you're going to die now next week. You're gone. I can't imagine what that was, because that's your job.
It was kind of joint decision though. I got to the point where 2.5 years there were other things that I was getting offered that I wasn't allowed to do.
Right.
So I got a little bit frustrated, thinking, well, you know, I came out for a while and did a play with Alan Bleasdale that I'd always wanted, always been a pet project of mine. That disrupts it for the writers, because they go, well, what's happened to Mike for a while? But there were other things that I wanted to do. They could have said, well, we'll leave the door open for you, but they said, we want this to be a big finish, and I was happy with that.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, you do kind of mourn it when, you know, you play a character for 2.5 years, and then, you know, those last scenes, I filmed that last kind of scene, dying scene, lying on it wasn't the cobbles, it was on the floor of this kind of big warehouse where Phelan was supposedly building these flats. And I lay there on my birthday. It was my birthday.
Are you serious?
1 o'clock in the morning. I was freezing, lying there dying.
That's a pretty dramatic exit, and a pretty memorable way, I'm sure, to spend your birthday. I have to ask though as well, like, you've obviously taken part in so many different television shows. I suppose over what's nearly been the guts of about 4 decades at this stage, and I suppose most people will remember you from your time in Family Fortunes. Yeah. How did that come about?
Family Fortunes came about, I mean, I was part of a double act with Dustin G. Some people will remember the Les Dennis and Dustin G days, and Dustin had a heart condition and, you know, tragically died far too young, age 43. We were at the height of our TV success. Mm-hmm. We had our own TV show. We were working with Russ Abbott. And so suddenly my career, you know, it was what's going to happen now. I lost a great mate. Yeah. And then my career was like, oh, well, we don't know what to do with Les. And I got offered Family Fortunes. I was a bit loath to do it at first, because I thought, well, I've never worked with the public before. I've never done that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was, for me, it was baptism by fire. I had to go out there and do 26 shows in 3 weeks.
Are you serious?
That's how we used to do 26 shows in 3 weeks. So so the first 26, the first year, if they're ever on the telly now, those very early ones, I think I wore a white suit on the first show. It was like Man from Del Monte. And I look back at those and go, oh, thank God they kept me on, because, I was learning.
Yeah, of course it is. But that's the best experience, though, as well. Family Fortunes wasn't your first kind of stint, or it was your first stint, I suppose, in the reality TV, in the reality TV world, but you went on then to the likes of MasterChef and Celebrity Big Brother, and I know you've
I wouldn't call Family Fortunes reality.
No, I suppose not, but more but I suppose just at a time when there wouldn't have been an awful lot of live television interaction with the public. But you went from that obviously then to the MasterChef and Celebrity Big Brother, and I know afterwards in your own autobiography that was something you talked about in your time in Celebrity Big Brother. Do you regret it at all?
No, I don't regret it, because I was, if you look back to that that one. We were the first one, the first celebrity one, outside of the comic relief one. And it was in those days we were in for 10 days. There were six of us in there.
Okay.
That's all. And we didn't get paid. It wasn't like the madness it is now. And if you look back, it's like a kindergarten show, because you know the fact that I talked to the chickens made the news. But if I regretted it, then I wouldn't have got what happened, which was Ricky Gervais called me. And I got extras out of Big Brother.
Out of it, okay.
So if I hadn't done what, you know, every cloud.
But that's it, isn't it? Yeah, like sometimes those kind of moments.
Yeah, no point in having regrets.
No, well, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I wanted to ask as well, just in terms of kind of your time in the Big Brother house, and I suppose for so many other actors and celebrities that go into shows like that, do you think is there kind of an onus on actors to keep that, I suppose, keep your name out there, keep your face in the, you know, in front of the public arena? Is there pressure on people nowadays, do you think, to kind of do that?
I think, you know, kind of some people get obsessed with just the fame of it. I've always been, you know, I've always been one that kind of, I think The Guardian the other week said, in the long, strange career of Les Dennis, he makes yet another left turn. I just keep making left turns to kind of keep myself out there. You've got, if you're not, if you don't keep developing and doing something that scares you, you won't survive. Mm-hmm. You'll just become stagnant.
Well, look, that's
so, you know, that's what I've done. As I've, you know, I've gone, I quite fancy that. And when at the Big Brother, I thought, I quite fancy that.
It's a really, really good way to look at it. I have to ask, in terms of all of the different areas you've worked in over the last four decades, what's your have you a favourite principle at this stage? Or
I love getting out live on
really,
in theatre, and this show, The Addams Family, with such a wonderful company, is just a great show because audiences are loving it, you know. And when you get that kind of the ovation we're getting at the end of the show every night, and the word of mouth that picks up when people have come to see it, they come in again, and they're coming dressed as the characters. It's becoming a bit
brilliant.
Of a cult. So at the moment, I love whatever I'm doing. So it's always the whatever it is at the time.
Well, look, if people want to see you, of course, Les, the Can Do at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin. It starts the 15th of August, isn't it?
Yes,
the Addams Family.
We're there for 10 days. So
okay.
We're looking forward to.
Of course, Les Dennis there, and you can see and hear more from Les Dennis, who's in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre here in Dublin for The Addams Family. It runs from the 15th right up until the 26th of August.